Good morning, everyone.
I thank you, Lord. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. You set my soul free. You set my soul free. You've been my conqueror. Been my lawyer. Been a heart fixer and a mind regulator. Made a way out of the way. You made the blind to see. Made the lame to walk. Even made dumb to talk. Oh, Lord, I thank you, Lord. Lord, I want to thank you. You made a place for me. Lord, I want to thank you. You built a fence around me. Made a foundation. Made a way plain. Brought me out of sin and shame. Oh, I thank you, Lord. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. You set my soul free. You've been my doctor. Been my lawyer. Been a heart fixer and a mind regulator. Made a way. Out of the way. Made the blind to see. Made the lame to walk. Even made dumb to talk. Oh, Lord. I thank you, Lord. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. You set my soul free. You've been my doctor. Been my lawyer. Been a heart fixer and a mind regulator. Made a way. I don't know where. You made the blind to see. Made the lame to walk. Even made dumb to talk. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
Great. It's good to see you all out today. Everyone feeling okay? My good buddy George Croft brought me a huge box of St. George's donuts. Yeah, it clapped. And I ripped him. His name is George. I said, you're trying for sainthood, St. George. Doesn't get any better than that. George, thank you for the thought, though. He's trying to help me get the buttons out here. Okay, we're working on that. It's good to have you all here today. We're going to have a wonderful, wonderful service today. Let's go to the Lord. Lord, we thank you for today. Bless our time as we share together. Open our hearts. Open us up. Help us to receive the things you'd have us to receive. Bless our time now in Christ's name, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Now, shake someone's hand and say, God bless you through someone. All righty then. It's good enough. We've got Gary Dooms in the house. He's going to come and play for us. Let's welcome Gary Dooms. Come on, Gary. We just changed the order. Did you comb your hair, Mikey?
No.
That's what you call rolling out of bed, making it right under the wire. Come on, Mike, you're up. Come on. Mike Walker. I love that. Okay, you're good.
He just pet me like a dog.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
That's awesome.
At least he didn't slap you.
Yes, that's right. How about the Yes, Lord? That'd be a good one. Jim likes that song. So I'm going to do it for Jim. Jim? Not here, but I'm going to do it anyway. No, I'm just kidding.
I prayed as I lay in bed. I asked him to take me by the hand, lead me and guide me through this whole world, till you take me to the promised land. And I say yes, Lord, I will, Lord, say when, Lord. Tell me your will, Lord, what you'd have me do. I'll give my whole life to you, and I'll try to always be true. So, yes, Lord, I will, Lord, say when, Lord. Tell me your will, Lord, what you'd have me do. I'll give my whole life to you, and I'll try to always be true. Thank you for all of your blessings that you have given to me. I'm unworthy, undeserving. Just let me be one of your sheep. And I say yes, Lord, I will, Lord, say when, Lord. Tell me your will, Lord, what you'd have me do. I'll give my whole life to you, and I'll try to always be true. So, yes, Lord, I will, Lord, say when, Lord. Tell me your will, Lord, what you'd have me do. I'll give my whole life to you, and I'll try to always be true. Yes, I'll give my whole life to you, and I'll try to always be true.
Good job, Mikey. Bernie's up. Love Bernie. What are you going to sing for us today?
I'm going to do a song, How Could I Ask for More?
Oh, that, It's one of my favorite songs.
Yes. And I'm going to just speak just a little bit before I do
the
song. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know what it is. The older I get, I think more and more about when I was little. Yeah. I don't know if a lot of you do that.
Mm-hmm.
But the other day I was thinking about my mom and on the farm, how in the summertime we used to sit out on the back porch. And there was these beautiful lilac bushes. And we had a lot of mosquitoes in Minnesota. And we'd go break a branch off. And we'd sit on that porch. And we would hit ourselves with that lilac branch. And the smell was absolutely wonderful. And we would just sit and smile at each other. And it was just good times and simple. But it was just wonderful to have her and everything that she did. Anyway, how could I have asked for more? And that's what this song is.
There's nothing like the warmth of a summer afternoon, waking to the sunlight and being cradled by the moon, catching fireflies at night and building castles in the sand, kissing mama's face at night and holding daddy's hand. Thank you, Lord. How could I ask for more? Running barefoot through the grass, a little hide and go seek, and being so in love that you could hardly speak. Dancing in the dark when there's no one else around, being bundled under the covers, watching the snow fall to the ground. Thank you, Lord. How could I ask for more? So many things I thought would give me happiness, some dreams that are realities today. Such an irony, the things that mean the most to me are the memories that I made along the way. So if there's anything I've learned from this journey I've been on, simple truth will keep you going, simple love will make you strong. There are questions without answers, flames that never die. Heartaches we go through are often blessings in disguise. Thank you, Lord.
Song, Bernie. Well, Forrest is in the house. He's taking care of his little baby a lot these days. The baby has a bad night, so does Forrest. So Sometimes he's not exactly able to be here, but he's here in spirit. Don't you all love Forrest? He does such a good job. What are you going to sing for us?
I'm going to sing I Dreamed I Drove the Nails.
Love that song. Forrest Herzog.
That's better.
The sermon that evening was John 3:16. How they crucified Jesus for a sinner like me. I wondered how could a man be so cruel and mean. Then I got the answer that night in my dream. I dreamed I drove the nails. I swung the hammer upon Calvary's hill. With his blood on my hands, my teardrops fell. Yes, I dreamed I drove the nails. Over and over, I thought of that dream and the message that God was giving to me. In that nightmare I shared the guilt and the blame. But each nail that was driven bears all of our names. I dreamed I drove the nails. I swung the hammer upon Calvary's hill. With his blood on my hands, my teardrops fell. Yes, I dreamed I drove the nails. Yes, I dreamed I drove the nails.
I feel like I'm getting a suntan up here.
The long and winding road cuts across the straight and narrow way. I know which way to turn, I know exactly where to go, 'cause the Lord is with me every single day. And when times get hard, has he left me all alone? Oh no, he's right beside me. And when I'm weary and all my strength is gone, he takes my hand and leads me on. He's watching over me every day. He's watching what I do and what I say.
Every now and then I feel a little bit like Daniel, trapped inside lion's den. And at the darkest hour, when it's more than I can handle, someone comes and rescues me again. Is it coincidence or just good luck that shines my way? Oh no, I don't believe it. I recognize His hand in everything I see, and in every way He blesses me. He's watching over me every day. He's watching what I do and what I say. Every minute of the day I know that someone's up there, and He's watching. When I struggle, He's there when I need Him. Why should I worry? It's such a someone. He's so in love with me. He's watching over me every day. He's watching what I do and what I say. Every minute of the day I know that someone's up there, and He's watching over me. He's watching over me every day. He's watching what I do and what I say. Every minute of the day I know that someone's up there, and He's watching. Yes, He's watching.
Give the Lord a big round of applause this morning, man. Wow. Oh, man. I think I'll do I Will Love You. God has been so good to a lot of us in here. Most of us, probably all of us, we don't even know it. He protects us when we're not even looking. I mean, you don't know what happens when you walk out the front door. And, it's just an amazing thing to think about how much we're protected blindly. We don't even know. So I just thought I'd say that. When I think of all You are in my life and in my heart, no words can say what I feel. 'Cause if everything is true, is what I have found in You, Lord, to me there's nothing more real. And though there is no way I can repay You, I'll give You whatever You want. I'll live a life that says You give me every song with my every breath. I'll make Your mercy known with every soul on earth. Or see You face to face. If I could, I'd take their place, and I'd pour out my heart to You. 'Cause what they don't understand is to know Your grace firsthand, how it feels to love like I do. Yes, You bring me to my knees with Your kindness. There's nothing that I can hold.
live a life that says you give me every song with my every breath. I'll make your mercy known with every soul on earth. For all alone, I will love you. I will love you, Lord, with all I am and everything I have. I dedicate myself to doing one thing.
Nice hair. That was a great worship today. When Mike sings that song, you can feel it. Can't you feel it? I asked Mike, I said, what are you? Are you first tenor, second tenor, baritone? What are you? Because he stretches those vocal cords, especially in the morning. Amen. He said, I guess I'm a baritone that can sing kind of high. Oh, he does a great job. The whole team did a wonderful job today. Thank you. Thank you so much for doing that. Well, we're in the book of 2 John, the second epistle. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there with us. I told you, we preach normally from the King James Bible. Am I a King James only guy? No. When I went to seminary, I went to Talbot Theological Seminary, and they had us in the New American Standard because they were the ones that had worked with the New American Standard and had made that the big thing. And they had the Lockman Foundation, and they had worked with them on interpreting some of the earliest manuscripts. Even some of the manuscripts had predated the manuscripts that were used in the King James Bible. Why? Because in archaeology, they kept working and working, and through the years, they had come up with manuscripts that dated back earlier than the manuscripts they used for the King James Bible. The Textus Receptus is what they used for the King James Bible. So they claimed, of course, that the New American Standard was a little closer to the original, even though they always pointed out that the New American Standard is accurate, that we could read it, study it, and believe it, but there were some other manuscripts that came before. But when I was in Bible college, of course, it was the King James Bible, and when we memorized in the King James Version. There is something about the King James Version that made it a little more easy to remember and to memorize. So when I quote scripture, it's always sort of from the King James Version. And then every once in a while, I'll throw a New American Standard thing out there. So I want you to know that. That's where we come from. We're reading once again in the second epistle of John. Verse 9, it says this. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not. And it says this, abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If we remain in the truth of who Jesus Christ is, this doctrine was a specific doctrine that Jesus Christ was all of God and all of man. Now that was the first epistle of John was based on this one concept. John the Beloved teaching and preaching that Jesus Christ was all of God, all of man. The incarnation had occurred. God had supernaturally come and become clothed in human flesh. Jesus, the incarnate God. So Jesus in the incarnation, we touched, we handled him, we worked with him. First epistle of John brought this all out. Second epistle is still carrying it. The third will finish it up. Then we're going to be studying back in the Gospel of John, which we did, I said, like 9 years ago. And we're going to restudy it and break it down. And one of the reasons and the main concerns that John the Beloved had when he wrote the Gospel of John previously to these three letters was that everyone needs to know that Jesus was who he claimed to be. All of God and all of man. He was God. Anyone that abides not in this doctrine of Christ, does not believe that Jesus is God, that he is the Word that dwells with us, doesn't have God. And he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, of who Jesus Christ is, he hath both the Father and the Son. Verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Verse 11, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. If anyone come into you and bring not this doctrine, if anyone come into you that claims to be a teacher, a preacher, an apostle, someone that has an understanding of who Christ is and does not bring this doctrine, what doctrine? The doctrine that Jesus is God. Receive him not. Receive in the Greek is lambano, which means to accept, to hold on to seize. Receive him not. Do not hold on to him, hug up on him. Receive him as someone that agrees and believes with what you believe. Neither bid him Godspeed, Kairo in the Greek, which means basically God bless you. It's a greeting, a Christian greeting, and it could be a Christian farewell. Because they don't believe in the God that you believe in. Now, is this talking about someone that's in the world, an atheist? No. Is this talking about someone that you know is an acquaintance that doesn't know Christ? No. Is it talking about someone that you know that's a different religion than what you are? No. Answer to all of those. It's talking about someone that comes in and claims to be a Christian, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet denies who he is. Do not associate, do not be friends with those people, because those people can lead you astray. You say, I'll never be led astray. The Bible says, in the last days, even the very elect, those that are called of God, those that are believers, can be led astray. Satan is powerful. He's very strong. Do not be misled by him. The Bible tells us how we're supposed to treat those people that come into us like sheep in wolf's clothing. They have an agenda to divide. They try to infiltrate and to mess up the church of Jesus Christ. This was going on from the beginning. The Apostle Paul, Romans 16, 17 through 18 says this, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. That's why it's so critical that we do teach and preach doctrine, belief. Comes right from the Scripture. It's all about the Scripture of who Jesus Christ is. Ephesians, the Apostle Paul going on, 5:11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Colossians 2:8. Once again, the Apostle Paul going on. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Do not let the world creep in and take you away from the systematic belief of who Jesus Christ is. Do not go after the world, its belief system. Embrace only the Word of God and what it has to say with who Jesus Christ is. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. For the time will come they will not endure sound doctrine. Hello, the Church of Jesus Christ today, the new evangelicalism, has embraced the teachings of the world and taking them, the teachings in and saying that is what the Bible teaches. Some of them call it the emergent church, which says out of every society, out of every culture, in different time periods and different parts of history, the church will change and evolve and will come up. And that will be the church of its time. The truth of the matter is, the church of our time today has disregarded God's word, disregarded the teachings in the word of God, and now has embraced the world, just like the apostle Paul is warning the young Timothy. It says they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. They want to listen to someone that makes them feel good. Someone that they're happy with. Someone that doesn't make them feel bad. The truth of the matter is, when I hear a preacher or a teacher, and I don't feel a little bit remorseful or convicted, there's something wrong with that teaching. The Bible tells us, how will they hear without a preacher? A preacher is someone that preaches the Word of God with conviction and passion so that people will make a change in their lives. And if I just go and listen to someone and I leave, boy, I just feel good about myself. I'm not changing. I'm just staying the same status quo. But the type of preaching that I love and always have embraced is the type of teaching that will bring me to a place of repentance and confession and getting my heart closer to God, a cleansing, a catharsis that'll take place in my heart. When I listen to these wonderful worshipers and singers, and they were singing some great songs, and then mic closes, I will love Him. When I hear that, I want to get closer to the Lord, don't you? Worship should bring us closer to the Lord, and then when we open the Word of God, we should be pliable and ready to receive the Word of God, because it's the truth. If we're listening to teachers and preachers, and they're all over the television, they're all over the radio, that just tell us that I'm okay, you're okay, just kind of pump us up, and they don't really convict us. If they're just motivational speakers and not getting into the Word of God and letting the Holy Spirit change us and transform us, there's something wrong with that type of preaching. Is there a place for motivational speaking and preaching in the church? Yes, there is. But I think it's always got to be tempered by God's Word, not just people's concepts, people's idea of what reality really is, people's philosophies that many times embrace the vain philosophies of this world. It's not about that. It's all about the Word of God. That's what a preacher is. Not a motivational speaker. We have a lot of motivational speakers. They'll get up and tell you, hey, everything's great. Everything is good. They'll try to get into your psyche and try to motivate you one way or another rather than just teaching us. No, we're not all right. We all need Jesus Christ. That's why we became a Christian. If we were all okay, we would not need Jesus. We're not okay. We need Him. We're sinners. We need to get our hearts right with the Lord. And the only way we can do that is through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And if the pastors and teachers and preachers are not preaching with conviction and with the passion that comes from the Word of God, something is wrong with that teaching. Boy, the Apostle Paul was all over that. Galatians talks about it too. I marvel not that you are so soon removed from Him that called you unto the grace of God, of Christ, unto another gospel. God called us to remain faithful to the Lord. And all of a sudden now we're running off and choosing other gospels that aren't related to who Jesus Christ is. Back to 1 John. We already studied this. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Many. They may look good. They may be all shined up. They may be polished in their speech and in their elocution. They may look good, sound good. They could suck us in. But yet, if we really listen to what they're saying, the Spirit of God will tell us. Try the Spirit, whether they are of God. And if it's a false prophet, turn away from that teaching. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. There it is, spelling it out. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. We will have false prophets, false teachers that will infiltrate the church today and try to spread and divide and change what we know is the truth. Once again, we call that new evangelicalism. Evangelicalism in the past has embraced the fundamental Word of God. We have believed that the Word of God is inerrant in its original scripts and writings, that it is the Word of God, that it's inspired by God. I personally believe in the plenary, verbal inspiration of God, which means the very words that those disciples and apostles wrote were penned through them by the Holy Spirit. So those words have meanings, and they're critical to us. That's why we study the original language of the Koine Greek, which... You say, why is it so important to know that? Why can't we just put it in today's language? Because the Koine Greek is what the Spirit of God told those New Testament writers to write in. Because it was the universal language of the time. So we have a little bit of understanding, which our translators, King James, the New American Standard, have done a wonderful job of explaining the Greek to us. So that we can have an understanding of God's Word and the very words that have meanings and have depth to them. Writing in that universal language at the time, the Koine Greek, they made it so the whole world, basically, at the time, could understand God's Word because it was the universal language at the time. So when we understand it, we know what it means. False prophets, they tear apart the Word of God and they destroy what God's meanings are to us. You know, it goes on. Second Peter even warns, there are false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Peter, writing under the influence of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, saying the same thing that John says, of course, they're his disciples. Teaching that Jesus is the God-man, all of God, all of man. He was who he claimed to be. And if anyone teaches anything differently, they deny the Lord that brought them. Acts 20:29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you. Apostle Paul writing in Acts, not sparing the flock. It's happening even today. People are teaching false doctrines, false thoughts, false philosophies to the church. We see this, that we need to understand that this is happening in the church today. This epistle, second epistle, first, second, third John, right here that we're studying. It's current with what's going on in the church today. It's happening right now, this moment. And we as Christians need to embrace the truth that's found in the Word of God. Don't listen to some man that gets up and just talks. Oh, it may sound good. It may tickle your ears, the itching ears. But if he does not base it on the truth that's in the Scripture, grounded on biblical truth and inerrancy in the Word, the God's Word. It's just vain philosophy. Titus tells us this, for there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, even those that were Jewish, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. I told you this one time. I was talking to a gentleman, and he said, well, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to Bible college. I was working with him in the summer. And I was just, and construction, and the hard work out there in Phoenix, Arizona. And he said, so you're studying to be a preacher? I said, yes. He goes, man, there's good money in religion. I said, what do you mean by that? Oh, you can make a lot of money preaching. I said, if I was going to make a lot of money, I think I'd go into a different line. But I said, to be a pastor, a preacher, to work with people, to encourage them, to see them understand the Word of God. No, no. I think it is what it is. There are a lot of people that to this day are in the religion, in the pulpit for money. You see that money, the Bible says, tears us apart. The Bible tells us that we can't do this for money. If we do, we're in the wrong line. We do it because God has called us and put a calling in our hearts. He has placed a special passion in our souls for people that are lost and need to come to Christ. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, today is the day. Now is the accepted time to open up your heart to Christ. We have this moment, but we don't have tomorrow. John was warning them over and over. Now is the time. If you've been misled, if you've been taken away by other teachers, false prophets, come back to the basic truth of who Jesus Christ is. He said, I know who He is. I know for a fact because I was there. I was an eyewitness. I lived with this man. I know him. You need to trust and believe who Jesus Christ is. And then Matthew, of course, comes back to this one. Jesus saying it. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know that one, right? But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Not everyone that says, hey, I've been a preacher. I've done all this for you. Will enter into heaven. Some of them standing at the great white throne will say, we heal people. We did all kinds of great deeds in your name. And he's going to say, I don't know who you are. Don't be misled by every wind of doctrine if it doesn't match up with the Bible. Do not try to massage and coerce the truth in the Bible to fit your way of thinking. Take God's Word as your standard, as the canon in your life, as your doctrine, as your belief in who He is. And read who Jesus Christ is. And read what He has for our lives. And study it and believe what the Word of God says over what man may say. Or as I say, they try to change it and make it into their own way of thinking. The world has a different way of thinking. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy again in 1 Timothy 1. Says, as I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines. It was going on during Paul's time there too. During, in his area of Asia Minor. Nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. Back then, these religions were looking back in their genealogies and things. We have religions that do that today. I can name you two or three of them. And it's a big part of their practice in their faith. Is it good to know who our people were in the past? Yeah. Can we save those people in the past? No. They had to make up their own choice with the Lord. Can we save ourselves? Can we be in a position where we can willfully come to Christ and accept Him? Yes, We can. And the only people that we can be sure of is ourselves. Now, our loved ones, our families, the Bible says we compel them to Christ. Your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your family members, or you have to teach them about Jesus Christ and give them that opportunity to open up their heart to the Lord. If they refuse, there's nothing that you can do about it except to pray for them. You can't beat it into them. And they can't become Christian through osmosis because you happen to be a Christian. Doesn't work that way. But you can show them the way of Christ. I was thinking about what Bernie sang. I love that song, Bernie. Love that song. Because I was just sitting there thinking, I got a tear in my eye. When I was a little kid, our folks would take us to church. And they always made it a good day. We're going to have fun today. Let's get up for Sunday school. They didn't make it a drag. I never remember us waking up on Sunday and saying, oh, darn it, Sunday. Never was it that way in our house. They made it an event. Hey, let's go. We're going to go see Jesus. Come on now. Positive. So we load up in our brown, we had this brown Dodge. It was a wagon, station wagon, they called them back then. Now it's an SUV. Give it a more technical name. We had a station wagon. We drove to church and we knew what was going to happen. We were going to go to Sunday school. We're going to learn scriptures. They're going to teach us. We're going to memorize scriptures. Then we'd go to church and we would sit in big church and we'd hear Pastor John Lyle preach. And I'd love to hear Pastor John Lyle preach. God bless him. That man was faithful to the Word of God and he taught us the Word of God and we all came to faith. Faithfulness to God. After church, there were one of three places we would go for lunch. It was either the Why Not, which is a burger place. That's why I was thinking about the little things in life. It's a whole family. Go to the Why Not. If we went to the Why Not, there were only three places to eat in town. There were two Mexican food places and three burger places. It was usually the burger. Sometimes and Sunday night was the Mexican food. We'd go to the burger place and we'd always see three or four other families who would have a great time. We'd go to the Why Not or there's a Tasty Freeze. You all remember Tasty Freeze? And it had a point on it, like a chalet thing, you know, it was up like that. And they would make you the malted, I'd get a root beer freeze that would just kill her. And then I would get whatever they had, a hot dog or whatever. And then there was the A&W root beer stand. Those are the three places right there. I remember going there, and after church, it was an event. And then we'd go home, and we'd play basketball or baseball in the front yard. It was a family day. It was a family thing that we would do. And then we'd turn around Sunday evening and go back and do it again. But I once again never remember saying, oh, I hate it, it's Sunday. That's what we need to teach our young people. Church is an event. It's a happening, man. To get up in the morning and to go and have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to make it drudgery. Not to make it painful. Not to make it that you just got to sit there and you keep your mouth shut and make it miserable. No, the Lord's got to move. God's going to speak to you. If we would motivate our children in the right way, I tell you what, we'd have a whole different slew of this generation of young people today. We need to pray for our country, pray for our young people coming up, that God will help them. They were all listening to strange doctrines. Not all of them, but many. They say, do not pay attention to the myths and endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. Let's study what God says in His Word. Of course, back then they had the Old Testament and some of the writings of some of these early apostles, possibly even. But they had the teaching, the verbal teaching, and their tradition that they knew was true. And the Apostle Paul, who he had been with the disciples, yes he had listened to them, had understood them, and he's teaching them correct doctrine and belief in who Jesus Christ is. And if anyone goes against God's Word, you need to say, I don't believe it. You're not part of us. You need to oppose them. Then it says this, verse 11 of 2nd Epistle John. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Partakers, koinoneo, We get our word koinonia from that, which means a fellowship, partaker. It means to share with, to participate, fellowship, to have communion and companionship with. We are not supposed to be so close and have companionship with people that hold contrary views of who Jesus Christ is, because it will start to drag us down. Especially this, if they claim to be a born-again Christian. We, as people that know the truth and have the truth, we need to draw them to Jesus Christ so that they will open up their hearts to the truth. And if they refuse and don't want anything to do with it, then we need to remove fellowship with those people that claim to be Christian. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds, poneras, hurtful, bad, evil, malicious, lewd, or worthless. Once again, it's not talking about someone that's in the world that we have an acquaintance with and we're sharing Christ with. No, it's not talking about someone that is not a Christian. It's talking about someone that says he believes in God and does not have any fellowship with him. One of the early Gnostic leaders had the same name as John the Beloved. His name was John. An early story. And it was just a story, a traditional story, but a lot of scholars believe it was true. John the Beloved went into this bathhouse, and they had those bathhouses that were legitimate where you go and get cleaned up after being on the road and so forth. Take a shower, get cleaned up. He was in there and he heard that this John, that was a leader of the heresy, Gnosticism, had come into that bathhouse that he was in. And he told his other disciples, we have to get out of here. And hurriedly they put their clothes on, got themselves cleaned up, and they ran out of this establishment because this man that claimed to be a believer who was leading astray the elect had entered the place. You say, well, that doesn't sound like the man that went to the cross. No, it wasn't about being fearful. But he understood that Satan is strong. And he didn't want any of those around him to hear any of this negative, antichrist type of teaching from someone that claimed to be a Christian. So he got him out of there. If a person claims to be a Christian and they have contrary beliefs to the Word of God, we need to remove ourselves from them. You say, that's not very nice. That's not Christian. No, we pray for them. We pray. We're not mean. We're not contrary. We don't yell at them. We don't cuss at them. We don't tell them how wrong they are because it's falling on deaf ears. We just kind of remove fellowship. That's what the Bible says. Verse 12 now. Having many things to write unto you, I will not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. There's one thing about writing and penning this, which we have today. Thank God we have the penned prose of these epistles and not just the spoken word and just pass through oral tradition. We have it written down for us to study and look at rather than just to hear somebody say, well, this is what John the Beloved said. We have the oral tradition passed down to us. That's good. But we have the very words penned by the Holy Spirit that we can look at and understand. And he said this, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. Writing is good. I love to share it in writing, but I want to come to you and preach and speak face to face. Kind of like this. So you show up on Sunday and nobody's up here. We got the pulpit and everything. And then Tom, who's our director, walks up here, pushes a button and walks away. And all of a sudden you hear a voice. Hi, folks, it's Dave, Pastor Dave. I'm not here today, but I'm going to give you a lecture on the. We've got this recorded for you. I know what would happen. Some of you get up and walk out. Then half of you do what you normally do. You bow your head and you fall asleep, knowing that I'm not here and I can't look at you and know that you're sleeping, which you, some of you think you get by with it. Nay, nay. I see. Dave knows all, and sometimes I tell all. The truth is this. It's one thing to write it. That's great. We have to have it, and thank God we have the Word of God. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. But he said, I just don't want to have this. I want to come to you and look at you eye to eye, face to face. That's why the Bible says, how can we hear without a preacher? Someone that has the Holy Spirit, someone that has the truth, and someone that believes in the Word of God that can push it forward into us. That's what John the Beloved wanted to do. I'm going to shove it in your faces. I'm going to lay it out there for you so you can hear it and see it with your eyes. I'm going to be there, and I want to just not write about it. I'm doing that. I'm writing. But then I'm going to do it face to face, deliver it to you face to face, that our joy may be full. Joy of what? Joy in the Lord. The fellowship, the Holy Spirit moving in our hearts and life, telling us that this is the truth of what God is sharing to us. And it says, may be full. And the Greek is pleroo, which means not just to be full, it means to cram full. I'm on this diet right now. I'm doing a keto diet for just a couple of months. I got to drop some weight. That's why, George, shame on you. We'll work around that. We'll make it happen. The keto diet, which says you've got to go on 20 carbs or less a day to enter ketosis, which means you're burning the fat and everything. Does it actually work? In theory, it does. Does it actually work? No, you have to do exactly what you do on the Weight Watchers. We were talking about that, Tamara and I, earlier. You have to still count calories to a certain degree. I heard you can eat all you want. You can eat, you know, all the meat you want, all the dairy you want. You can have cheese. You can have nuts. You can have all this. Those are all my favorites, see? Nay, nay. You have to eat less than 1,800 calories. That's for me. And on the Weight Watcher, it was 1,500 for me. So it's real close. See, it's real close. But only you're not eating some of the different things like fruits and a whole lot of vegetables and all this kind of stuff. I don't quite understand the whole concept behind it, but they want you to burn fat in this ketosis thing. And they all say this. It is not a lifetime diet. It is a 3 to 4 month or twice a year type of thing to go through and to burn the calories and fat. I got to cut some weight. We open in a few weeks, and yeah, that's another story. I got to get in my costumes. Bernie, get ready to let him out. Okay? All right. We have to understand what we're doing and where we're going. And if you're going to enter any type of diet, well, you have to read up on it and understand and do it. And it doesn't always work exactly the same way. So you can read about it and then you put it into practice. Weight Watchers, same thing. You can read about it, but then you have to make it work. You have to put it into practice. We can read God's Word and understand who Jesus Christ is and what He wants for us. And that's good to know what it's all about. But then we have to put it into practice, like the diet. So if you're on 1,500 calories a day and you go, yeah, I know that. There's my number and that's what I'm supposed to do. And you're doing 3,000 calories a day. It's a lot. If you're on the keto, doesn't matter, keto, whatever, you're on that one, you're supposed to have less than 20 grams, and you're having less than 20 grams, but you're supposed to have 1,800 calories a day, and you're having 4,000 calories a day, it's not going to work either. You have to follow the plan to make it work, and you have to make it happen yourself. As Christians, we read the Word of God. We understand who Jesus Christ is. And we are the ones that have to make it work. Nobody's going to do it for us. We have to read the Word of God. We have to study the Word of God. We have to pick it up on a daily basis. It has to become part of our lifestyle. Why? Because there's a whole world out there that's ready to destroy us. One more verse and we're done with the second epistle. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. He's writing to this Christian lady. She has children. She's brought them up in the faith and he's encouraging them. Greet your children. You're my elect sister. Greet them. Let them know they're doing well. Then he says, amen. So he finishes this. Now, that being said, this week I got all fired up. You know, sometimes I get fired up, right, folks? Not just here in the pulpit, but I get fired up when I see here, or see, you know, just something approaches me. Reading through the books, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the Apostle John is warning them against false teaching. And in particular, those that come into the church and said they're Christians, the Gnostics. Don't listen to them. We fight the good fight for Jesus Christ, sometimes within, with those that teach false teachings and those that are without. Let me give you an example. This week, someone sent something on Facebook. I think it was Mary. Norma's friend and our friend that comes to church here when she had Mary Myers. But there's something that came up. And it was the domain name undojesus.com. It was about the atheists. Now, once again, this isn't back during John's time. This is 2,000 years after the fact of Jesus. And they're still ticked off about him. Let me tell you, this organization and what's their motto and what their doctrines are. First, to advocate against the widespread acceptance of the story of Jesus Christ as written in the Holy Bible. I notice they call it holy. Why would they call it holy if they don't believe in anything holy? To advocate presenting the infiltration of biblical conscience into law and the courts, removing everything that could be biblical or Christian or any type of theology or ideology that happens to do with Christianity, take it out of the law and the courts. Three, to reveal and expose the absurdity of the supernatural claims of the scriptures of the Holy Bible. To prevent the loss of human energy. Listen to this. Being wasted through religious practice resulting from the interpretation of the text of the Holy Bible. So what we've accomplished today, all of us, is nothing except wasting human energy and time. Talking about God. Trying to have a better way of living in our lives. It's all a waste of human energy and time. To prevent further justification of actions causing death and destruction from those in power, of whom abuse the widespread acceptance of the Holy Bible and truth. Some people may have done this in past. In history, we see that that could have happened. But it's not the norm because it's not what Jesus taught. Two, to rally support of reasonable thinking people into bringing about a paradigm shift regarding the support for biblical indoctrination of children and adults. We remove all kinds of teaching, all kinds of instruction that could be taught on a national level somehow, some way. Remove that so that they can't see the truth anymore. To hold the church accountable for their wrongdoings. I agree with that one. That's the one that I do. I agree with it. If the church has done things wrong, they need to be held accountable. If taken money, if they've tried to avoid the IRS, if they try to do this or that, if there's been sexual impropriety, if there's immorality, whatever, hold them responsible. I believe in that. That's the only one. Going on to eliminate tax relief provided to the church for spreading untrue and absurd supernatural claims. They want to take away your tax exempt status as a church, as Christians. To save individuals from grief. Look at here. Now they become the saviors for us. To save individuals from grief and misery resulting from their acceptance of false information proselytized by the church. They're going to teach you the truth to save you. Teach you there's no God, there's no Jesus. To redirect human energy from religious practice to reason, reason-based societal and environmental efforts. Well, we're concerned about the environment, yes. But to not worry about religion anymore, but the environmental cause has become the religion. Finally, to create a clearing for world peace by eliminating religious conflict, a major contributor to wars. Do you know what this teaching is all about? Banning and vilifying Christianity so that in the future, if you are a Christian, they will incarcerate you. They may even put you to death because you will be a terrorist or a criminal. And here's the clincher. This is what caught my attention. The gentleman that's in charge of this whole thing was holding up the sign. If Jesus returns, kill him again. Kill him again. John had to fight against those that vilified Christianity. He was martyred. He had to go through this. The Isle of Patmos had to work until he died at 90 years old out there. He was a martyr. All of the other disciples, they all died martyrs' deaths. They died. Still believing in Jesus Christ. Still never wavering from the truth of who Jesus Christ was. They never wavered from the truth. We as Christians, we see our society crumble and melt right in front of our eyes. We need to really be in prayer about what God is going to do. And we need to know the Word of God so when someone comes against us, we know what to say and how to handle it. Now I'm going to say this. All this that I read to you, that's not what John was even writing about here. You know who he was talking about? Christians that really believe this. Christians that believe these tenets. And claim to be Christian. I told you the new evangelicalism has come to the church. Changed all the past doctrines. You say, well, we're very progressive. We need to do this today because that's who we are. No, we need to do what the Word of God says. John the Beloved was fighting against that false teaching that was creeping into the church. If it's contrary to God's Word, it's not God's Word. And if they're teaching it as God's word, they're antichrist. They're these people that have infiltrated the church and trying to take us away from the truth of who God is. So, the Bible says in Romans, do not let the world suck you into its mold. Do not let the philosophy, the teachings, the values of the world mold us into who we are. We're different. We're sojourners. We're aliens in this world. We're in this world, but not of this world. We do not embrace this world's philosophy and teaching and understanding. We embrace the Word of God, God's Word. It's true. And we hold on to it to the very end. Amen. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're here today and the Lord has gotten a hold of your heart. It's a difficult thing to claim to be Christian, but not to believe God's word. If you're a Christian, you have to embrace the word of God because it's the only place we go for the truth. It's our standard. It has all the methods, the doctrines. It contains the very words of God, which is our belief system. And our belief system is not based on vain philosophy found in this world. It's based on God's Word and who Jesus Christ was. If you claim to be a Christian, you embrace the teachings of Jesus Christ. You need to come to Him. Maybe you've never accepted Christ. I want to give you this opportunity right now. You can open up your heart to Him. You can receive Him as your Savior. The Bible says now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Just bow your heads with me as we close here. And you can pray with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross for me. I know I'm a sinner. I need You. Thank You for coming into my heart and life. Take away all my sins. Wash me clean in Your precious blood. I now receive You, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. And I promise to follow You every day. Lord, I pray for each and every person that's here today. That if they prayed and accepted You, they will walk in the newness of life found only in Your Word. Bless them, help them, we ask this. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. All God's people said, Amen and Amen. You know, if today you made a decision, we've got Gospels of John out there. Pick up a whole bunch. Take as many as you want. And then if they run out, they're on the counter right there, the concession stand. If we run out, you can go out to the sides near the men's room and the women's room. There's boxes of them. And we have plenty. They're free. Just grab them, take them, put them all over the house. And read the Gospel of John, because we're going to be going into within the next week or two. And we're going to really study once again the words of Jesus Christ. And those words are so powerful. And they're going to challenge all of us to be better, to do better with Christ. So that's what's coming up. So check out those Gospels of John. Pick them up and take them home so you can have them. Right, a couple of quick announcements here. Right after the service today, we're going to go to Pizza Ranch. You tell them you're a local, and they're going to give you the special local rate. And then we have a room that we're all going to go into. It's going to be a nice fellowship. We haven't had a fellowship for a while. And so right after we do communion, we're going to go on over there and love to have you come and be part of that so we can talk to you face-to-face like John the Beloved said, face-to-face. It's a good thing we can have the fellowship. And we'll do that right at the Pizza Ranch right after the service is over. Okay? Let's all stand together. Some of you asked last week, I said I wasn't going to make an announcement, but I just did. How the TV thing's doing, we've raised about 65% of our television for the year. And I'm excited about that. We're going to be on our local TV, KSPR, for Direct and Dish. It's 33, channel 33. For Suddenlink, I think it's 7 or 8, or I think I'm right on that. 8 is channel 8, but it's KSPR. And then all of our... Each service, 30 minutes, is 6 o'clock in the morning. I know it's early. You can set your recorder so. 6 o'clock to 6:30, and that's right before the James River, their TV. And there's a 6:30 to 7. It's a good time slot. And hopefully we're going to reach some folks with the message of Jesus Christ. If you want to be part of it, and some of you ask again, I just want to explain this again. A lot of you make this ministry your ministry. You tithe to us. You give us a regular check. Which thank you for donating and helping us. We have a lot of ongoing expenses to keep the ministry vital and going. The second thing is, if you want to donate to the TV ministry, just put your check, Branson Gospel Sunday, and then put TV in a little blank space there. And that will be a gift to go to the TV ministry to help us to get the Word of God out. The range is pretty good, all the way down into Arkansas, below Harrison, halfway up to Kansas City, all the way to Joplin, and then all the way to West Plains. And that's their viewership. And so we hope that we can pick up some people, maybe early in the morning, turn on, and they can hear the gospel of Christ. And then maybe possibly even come to our church service if the locals get involved with us, what's going on right here. So pray about that, and we'd love to get involved. If you're interested, you can talk to Wanda also. We have communion here in just a moment. Just take some moment. Come and sit down and we'll pass out the elements. We'll do the communion. If you're able to help with our ministry, Wanda's got a bucket, and so does Jim. We're not going to pass the hat and embarrass anybody, everyone watching. But if you're able to help, you can drop something in to help us to continue the ministry. All right. Are there any questions on that? Okay, now we have some prayer requests real quick, and then we'll be done. First of all, I got this from Bernie, her manager at the diner. Jake and Danielle, they have a 7-month-year-old baby granddaughter. I think that's correct. What was that? It's the daughter. The 7-month-old baby. And they she has liver cancer, they found. Just found this out. Let's give this little baby to the Lord, and that God's going to. So that's going to be on our list here today. We also want to remember Liz Kelly. Lou passed away last week. Let's just lift them up to the Lord, that God's going to bless them. And Kimmy, we want to pray for Kimmy, that God's going to bless them too. Kevin is here today. We just love him so much. Just keep praying for him. He's fighting the cancer. He's fighting a good fight. And we just pray that God will continue to bless him and help him each and every day. Jim and Alan are here today and doing better. They're recovering. I think they're doing pretty good, standing upright. So keep praying. Keep praying for them, that God's going to bless them and encourage them as they've gone through the surgeries. I know these are not easy surgeries, but we need to pray that God's going to bless them. Also, lift up Brenda Jackson. She's going to have some tests coming up here very soon. Let's pray that God's going to touch her and get her through those times. Norma's daughter and son, Danny and Debbie, we need to lift them up to the Lord, that God's going to bless them and just keep encouraging them. Anything new from Danny?
He's been able to walk with his walker now.
Okay, that's better. So we keep praying that God's going to bless him. Want to lift up Brian to the Lord. What was that again?
I'd like to say something about my daughter.
Debbie. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Every other day, she always gets sick, and they take too much water off. They have to, because she would die.
Mm-hmm.
Every other day. But for the past week, they haven't found any water, and they have, everything is looking good. So believe that it's all about Jesus. If you really believe,
yeah. Pray for those kidneys. Pray for those kidneys, that God's just going to restore her. We love her. Let her know that we're praying and remembering her. I'm going to pray for Brian, that God's going to bless him. And Carl, you're hanging in there. You've got some physical issues, right? Well, we're going to lift you up to the Lord, too, that God's just going to bless you. And I also, let's remember Jim about his heart situation, that God's just going to touch him. Do we have anyone else that I missed? Wanda and Bill, we want to remember them, and Richard and Bonnie. Just lift them up to the Lord, that God's just going to encourage them this week. Let's give these requests to the Lord, and then we'll dismiss. Lord, we thank you that you're the God that hears. We thank you that you love us, that you have our best interest in mind. So bless us, we ask this. And we thank you for what we're going to see you do through these prayers and how you're going to touch people in a miraculous way. Help us, Lord. Help us to be people of faith, to believe your word and to put our faith and trust in you. Thank you for what we're going to see and what we're going to experience through you. Bless our time now today, and bless us as we have our fellowship this afternoon. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Good morning. God bless each and every one.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation.
Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is thy help and salvation.
All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration.
Praise to the Lord, who are all things so wondrously radiant. Shelters the under His wings, yes, so gently sustaining.
tell.